Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel reading, or for our sermon today, comes from the epistle reading, Hebrews chapter 3, specifically at the end, "And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope." The house of God is a fascinating metaphor which we find all through Scripture. Christ is alternatively referred to as the cornerstone of the house of God and as its foundation. We are described as building blocks which are built up together into the house of God. And indeed, we are called the temple of God because the Spirit of God dwells within us. This is an incredible blessing which God has given to us as his people. But what does it mean that we are the house of God? When we look back in the Old Testament, we see many different examples of the house of God. We start all the way back in Exodus with the tent of meeting, a tent which was built under Moses while the people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. God would meet with the people there. The cloud of God's presence would come to rest above the tent of meeting, and God's presence would be there. And eventually, that tent of meeting was placed in Jerusalem under the reign of King David. And then David's son Solomon built the first actual temple, which was prepared by David, then built by Solomon shortly after David's death. And this was an extravagant structure covered all over with gold. And yet, eventually, that temple was destroyed when the Babylonians came in and completely leveled Jerusalem. Meaning that 70 years later, when the people of Israel returned to Jerusalem, they had to rebuild a temple, this time under the governor Nehemiah. This was a smaller temple than Solomon's that had been destroyed, but it represented the people's trust in God, despite and in all of their circumstances. And then finally, Herod's temple was built between the Old Testament and New Testament, right around the time when Christ was born, or 20, 30 years earlier, when Herod the Great became king. And this temple is the one which Jesus would visit and whose destruction Christ predicted, which eventually came to pass in the year 70. And yet, that we as the house of God are greater than any of those Old Testament houses. We are God's house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. In 1 Peter 2, Peter says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are the house of God. What does that mean? That's a good Lutheran question. What does this mean? Simply, it means that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us, something which happens through baptism and which is ratified every time that we receive the sacraments, every time that we worship, every time that our faith is strengthened by hearing God's word. The Holy Spirit living in us makes us the house of God. It means having a clear sense of purpose and unity as God's people. Well, that's all well and good, a single, unified house of God, at least in theory. But does it look like that in practice? Unity, frankly, is not always easy or even really present in a house or in a church. When an actual house is divided against itself or disunited, it means that the house is liable to collapse in on itself. Whether it is a collapsed roof, a sinkhole that opens right under the master bedroom, a tornado, an earthquake, any of these things can destroy the structural integrity of the house. I always think of my in-laws' house in Nebraska, which was wired by monkeys and probably plumbed by a squirrel. They've had so many issues with the wiring and plumbing, it's not even funny. Well, actually, it rather is. There was one random tube full of detritus from the garbage disposal, which for some reason went behind the master bedroom. Why? I don't know. But there you go. That's what a house looks like when it is not united. When a household, that is a family, is divided against itself, it means that the family is in trouble. Whether it is fighting, whether it is backstabbing, whether it is broken trust, any of these things can harm the family. What is it that Jesus said? A house divided against itself cannot stand. And in fact, disunity can even affect the house of God. We look in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas, who were such close friends for probably close to a decade of ministry work and mission work, divided. Barnabas, when they are leaving on one of their trips, Barnabas and Paul disagree on who should come with them. Barnabas wants to bring his cousin John Mark with them, but Paul didn't want anything to do with Mark because he'd abandoned them the last time that he was with them. He got homesick and left for home. And so Paul and Barnabas disagreed and they separated, and Saul went with Silas while Barnabas went with Mark. And as far as we know, that's the last interaction Paul and Barnabas ever had. We know from 2 Timothy that Paul and Mark eventually reconciled, but Barnabas is never heard from again in Scripture. Did they ever reconcile, or were Paul and Barnabas divided for the rest of their lives? The worst kind of disunity in the house of God is the disunity which harms the church's mission. When infighting keeps the church looking inward, there is a problem. When the church doesn't agree on its mission, or some members don't recognize their place in that mission, the church's ability to carry out God's mission in the world is crippled. Disunity is a terrible spiritual situation or spiritual condition. Paul says in Romans chapter 16, I appeal to you to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Disunity and divisions are harmful to the house of God. When we are confronted by this lack of unity within the church or within the house of God, what can we do? When a house is in trouble, oftentimes the best response is what else? To turn to the blueprints. The blueprints tell you what the house was supposed to look like in the first place, and so the blueprints can tell you what needs to be fixed to get the house back to normal. Tells you what went wrong, and even more importantly, what to do to make it right. The blueprints for the house of God are found in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, Paul writes exactly what the foundation of the house of God is. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Or again in Ephesians chapter 2, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The foundation is Christ. The cornerstone is Christ. and the house is built from there. Ephesians 4, Paul writes, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." That is the blueprint for unity in the church. That is the blueprint for the house of God, is Christ. God the Father united under one God. And of course, the most important resource in repairing the house of God is the builder, Jesus Christ. We have been united with Christ in his death. We are united with him in his resurrection. We are united with him in his church. We are brought together into one house through Christ. But what is the most important element of any house? No, of any building, without which it absolutely cannot stand. The foundation. The foundation is what keeps the building standing upright. In the parable of the house built on stone and the house built on sand, the only difference between the two structures was the foundation. With a solid foundation, the first house could withstand everything the elements threw at it, while the second house crumbled and fell at the first gust of wind. So what is the most important element of the house of God? Again, the foundation. The foundation for this house, the one on which this church and every church must be built, is its Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The doctrine that we are saved by grace alone through faith in his atoning sacrifice alone. That is the foundation. No matter what happens, as long as that foundation remains secure and unshaken, the house of God can and will survive. And we are that house built on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.